Let us come now to the reading of God's Word in Hosea chapter 11. Hosea chapter 11, we'll start in verse 1. We'll go through to the end of chapter 12, which is verse 14. And so Hosea 11 through chapter 12. God's people, let's hear now the word of the Lord. When Israel was a youth, I loved him. And out of Egypt I called my son. The more they called them, the more they went from them. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and burning incense to idols. Yet it is I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of a man, with bonds of love. And I became to them as one who lifts the yoke from their jaws. And I bent down and fed them. They will not return to the land of Egypt, but Assyria. He will be their king, because they refuse to return to me. The sword will whirl against their cities, and will demolish their gate bars, and consume them because of their counsels. So my people are bent on turning from me. Though they call them to the one on high, none at all exalts him. How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I surrender you, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboim? My heart is turned over within me. All my compassions are kindled. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not destroy Ephraim again. For I am God and not man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. They will walk after the Lord. He will roar like a lion. Indeed, he will roar, and his sons will come trembling from the west. They will come trembling like birds from Egypt and like doves from the land of Assyria, and I will settle them in their houses, declares the Lord. Ephraim surrounds me with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. Judah is also unruly against God, even against the Holy One who is faithful. Ephraim feeds on wind and pursues the east wind continually. He multiplies lies and violence. Moreover, he makes a covenant with Assyria, and oil is carried to Egypt. The Lord also has a dispute with Judah, and will punish Jacob according to his ways. He will repay him according to his deeds. In the womb he took his brother by the heel, and in his maturity he contended with God. Yes, he wrestled with the angel and prevailed. He went and sought his favor. He found him at Bethel. And there he spoke with us. Even the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord is his name. Therefore return to your God. Observe kindness and justice and wait for your God continually. A merchant in whose hands are false balances he loves to oppress. And Ephraim said, surely I have become rich. I have found wealth for myself. In all my labors they will find in me no iniquity which would be sin. But I have been the Lord your God since the land of Egypt. I will make you live in tents again, as in the days of the appointed festival. I have also spoken to the prophets, and I have given numerous visions. And I gave numerous visions, and through the prophets I gave parables. Is there iniquity in Gilead? Surely they are worthless. In Gilgal they sacrifice bulls. Yes, their altars are like the stone heaps beside the furrows of the field. Now Jacob fled to the land of Aram, and Israel worked for a wife, and for a wife he kept sheep. But by a prophet the Lord brought Israel from Egypt, and by a prophet he was kept. Ephraim has provoked to bitter anger, so his Lord will leave his blood guilt on him, and bring back his reproach to him. That is God's word. Our passage this evening is slightly different than just naming the sins and promising the judgments that will come to Israel or Ephraim, same thing. In chapter 11 we see Yahweh's goodness towards his people Israel, kind of off and on and throughout the chapter. Even to mention verse 1 of Christ, that should remind of you, remind you of what it says in the Gospel, Matthew, out of Egypt I will call my son. after he went there with his parents, and when Herod was persecuting, and then he came back. And yet in verses 2 and 4, and verse 7 and verse 12, he shows in response to God's goodness that the people of Israel were ungrateful in their conduct towards him, that is, towards the Lord. Therefore, he threatens them in verses 5 and 6, again, with his wrath against them because of their ingratitude, because of their idolatry. And in the midst of this wrath, we still see, in verses 8 and 9, God's mercy and what he will still do for them. Then, in chapter 12, we see the charges against Israel and Judah for their sins, again, particularly the sins of fraud and injustice, as well as the sin of idolatry, which provoked the Lord to anger. And what did their sin cause in verses 3 through 5 from Jacob their father? And bringing them into a people from their low beginnings. Now, the Lord also provided in helping their souls through the prophets he sent to them. And all these the Lord accomplished for them. And yet they went their own way. And so now they must, verse 6, and it said chapter 11 too, brought this out, they must repent. They must return to the Lord. So that's the Lord's, again, that's the Lord's mercy to them. They don't deserve it at all. But he calls them to return to the Lord. And so, God's children, let us not forget the Lord's grace and mercy that is constantly toward us every day so that we might not continue in sin and that we might not sin against him. And yet when we do sin, again, here called as we are warned to return to your God, we are to return to the Lord. Observe in that his kindness and his justice, and wait for your God continually. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we're thankful for the great blessings that we have encountered as we've had these serial readings for many years now, that we would not lose the forest for the trees. Thankful for especially the Old Testament, which we forget. Perhaps easier for us to forget those things of the Old Testament than the New. Yet thankful that we've been able to go through the entire New Testament and much of the Old Testament and the prophets, and Joshua through the kings and now Isaiah through even beginning now the minor prophets. We're thankful that you have given us the Word, and you have not allowed us to lose focus on the big picture of our need of Christ. Again and again we've seen, especially as we've read through the Old Testament, our need of Christ. And seeing how those who don't think they need Christ, how they end up with judgments and curses against them. And yet, Father, we confess now that we need Christ in everything, that without him we can do nothing, as John says. And we're thankful that you bless your people, that you reveal your word to us, you reveal yourself to us, you reveal who we are as we look again and again at Israel and how they acted towards you in their sin. And those often are our desires, to enter into sin, to enter into idolatry and injustice. Father, we ask that you would continue sanctifying us and cleanse us of our sins. We have broken your commandments. We've broken all of them. We have, as we consider the supper this evening, partaking and celebrating Christ and his death for us, we're reminded of what our sin deserves. Our sin deserves the wrath of God. For the wages of sin is death. And yet we're thankful that the gift of God in Christ Jesus is eternal life by his grace and through his sacrifice. And so, Father, build us up in our faith that we would not turn against you, that we would listen to you as we are called in your word. Father, we're thankful that you provide a government over us. You've seen fit to show that it is good to have a civil magistrate and authorities, governing authorities over us. We pray that you would be with them and cause them to rule according to your word, cause them to be saved. Send your Holy Spirit. Send us to have opportunity, that is your children, to have opportunity to tell them the gospel and call them to repentance, just as you called Israel to repentance. That they, who claim to be of your people, claim to be of your church, and yet we know that they are doing so often for political reasons. We pray that those who claim to be part of your church would be, would have that false, their lies shown, and that would drive them to your Son, Jesus Christ, and their need of Him and the church to be part of the body of Christ, because outside the church there is no ordinary way to salvation. And in the church we know that we hear the gospel proclaimed, which is the only way that one may be saved, by believing in the name, the only name under heaven that we must be saved, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we ask that you would save them and give us peace to be able to worship freely. And if it comes to persecution and suffering, that we would do so, as we'll learn this evening, in unity and with sympathy and compassion and with kind-heartedness. Father, help us in these things. It is not natural. It is natural, rather, to curse those who curse us and not bless those who curse us. And so help us to be like Christ, who blessed us when we deserved cursing and we cursed Him, even on the cross. Father, forgive us of our sin, doing that, putting Christ on the cross. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.